Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Odyssey Station.
And the pitch. Thanks for playing. And there's two away. And a swing and a miss. Wisniewski pitches around a two-out single. Wisniewski gets the punch out. Is that the changeup?
First changeup of the day.
Got him looking. 0-2 to Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Did he go? Yes, he did. Struck him out.
I think I saw two different sliders, too. I'm pretty sure that there was a one that drops and one that sweeps. And if he's got that going, oh, boy.
What if it was a sleeper?
Ooh, see, you're combining them. That was sort of like our idea of combining Juan Uribe with Elvis Night. And have Juan Uribe show up dressed as Elvis and perform Elvis songs. But that's not why you called.
That's pretty great.
Those Hayden Wisniewski highlights were courtesy of the Marquee Network. And here to talk Cubs with us is Megan Montemurro, who has been doing a terrific job covering the Chicago Cubs for the Tribune. And Megan joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You can follow her on Twitter at @M_Montemurro. Megan, how you been?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Trying to figure out the opening day roster, Megan, which is, I think, something that you were also trying to do.
It's definitely that part of the season.
And then thusly also trying to figure out the fifth starter. Hayden Wisniewski got the start yesterday. 5 innings, 5 strikeouts. That slider was disgusting. Do you think he's this team's fifth starter?
I do. I mean, you just look at his body of work this spring. He's just really looked dominant for most of it. And when, you know, his previous outing, he ran into a little trouble. You know, he minimized the problems, got through the inning. And you want your guys to face a little bit of adversity in spring to see how they respond to that. I think the Cubs were really pleased to see how he overall performed, even when he had a couple hiccups. You just look at what he did the past few weeks, plus, you know, the glimpses that they saw last year. He seems like he's right in position to be that number five guy.
Is he technically a rookie?
I think he maintained his status because I don't think he hit the innings requirement last year.
That's very impressive. And I've talked a lot about him in various other spaces because I know he was a polished product when he got traded here, but I still think he was somebody who had to be developed.
And a Polish product.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. But he still had to be developed, Megan. And I feel like it's just another feather in the cap of what the Cubs are trying to do in developing pitching talent.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at their pitching infrastructure top to bottom, you know, from Craig Breslow, you know, in the front office, all the way down through, you know, Tommy Haddaby, Daniel Moskis, Chris Young. I mean, they really have a good grasp of how to bring the best out of guys. I mean, you've seen in the bullpen the last few years where they bring in some veteran guys, really kind of get them to that next level. And they kind of just keep churning through that each year. It's been really impressive. And then you look on the starting pitching side, what Wisniewski has shown. I mean, Javier Assad has been incredibly impressive, dating back to not this past offseason, but even before then. You know, they were working with him on a velocity program, you know, which they saw a glimpse of last year, and then getting that big league experience and going through the same velocity program in this past offseason. I mean, we all saw what he did in the World Baseball Classic where, you know, he's sitting 95 and touching 97. I mean, it's been really impressive what they've been able to do. And part of that has been their ability to help guys either refine their sliders, or they've been having guys add that sweeping slider pitch. There have been at least, I believe, 10 plus that were in big league camp who added the sweeping slider to their repertoire. So Yeah, it's just been really impressive the way they've been able to get on a roll organizationally the last couple of years on the pitching side.
And while we're here, I don't know how Javier Assad fits into all of this. If they send him to AAA, if they keep him in the bullpen, he pitched in relief in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, and it's a really tough question that they face. You know, does he have more value as potentially the first guy up, from the AAA rotation? Or, you know, we know how much they value these multi-inning, you know, firearms, basically, coming out of the bullpen, those weapons. And, you know, last year it was Keegan Thompson, but, you know, he hasn't been fully locked in. His velo's been sitting 90 to 92 this spring. So, you know, does Javier Assad slide into that role? And they're certainly not ruling out putting him in the bullpen to start the year. And it'll be interesting to see kind of how all those pieces fit together. You know, they've talked a lot about how they're going to have some tough decisions, which is a good sign. It means that you've increased the talent that you have in the organization. On the flip side, it means you might lose some guys who, if they don't have minor league options left, or if they do, you might have to option them to Iowa to maintain some of that depth. So it really is going to be quite the puzzle that they have to put together.
How hurt is Brandon Hughes? And secondary question, as I look at the bullpen construction and roster construction, did the Cubs maybe put too much on him? Is he more valuable than he maybe should be?
Well, in terms of him and his knee has apparently been bothering him throughout the spring. We found out from Tommy Hotovy earlier in camp that he was a little bit behind other guys. The indication was that, you know, because he had such a heavy workload last year and really, as a converted outfielder, you know, experiencing that not only the big leagues for the first time, but pitching that many innings and especially the high leverage spots he got in the second half, that they wanted to back off him a little bit in the offseason into spring. But now, you know, with apparently dealing with his knee bothering him the last few weeks, you know, they certainly aren't going to push him. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, they still have a couple of non-roster left-handed relievers in camp, including Ryan Barucki, who's a local guy. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, do they ultimately feel okay going into the season without a left-hander in the bullpen if he's not ready? That probably paves the way for someone like Mark Leiter Jr., who was lights out against lefty and had really strong reverse splits because of his splitter. Again, that's another piece of the puzzle they have to figure out. And just in terms of, you know, too much expectation or, you know, workload on him coming into the season and the expectations of what they need from Brandon Hughes, I mean, maybe a little bit, but if you have guys in the bullpen that can still neutralize those left-handers, you know, he doesn't necessarily become the guy that you have to always go to in a big spot with a left-hander up. I think they did see last year that he's capable of handling those moments, which is huge. I mean, he recorded a couple saves. He had a few setup opportunities that he thrived in. So I think based on what they saw last year, they felt comfortable with that and obviously ultimately didn't sign a veteran left-hander to the 40-man. So I think that says a lot about their belief in him and what he's capable of doing.
I don't want to be this person, but I have to be this person. I feel like there's an excellent chance Nick Madrigal is the team's starting third baseman.
I mean, I think it's certainly a possibility. I mean, I think the biggest obviously thing for him is he has to hit. They need that contact guy. If he can be someone that is consistently getting on base and, making contact, putting the ball in play, you know, that certainly is going to help him. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of divvy up the playing time between third base and right field to start the season. You know, with Seiya Suzuki out, how comfortable are they playing Patrick Wisdom out there? How much will they use Trey Mancini in right versus DHing? And then obviously if they add somebody like Mike Tauchman, a non-roster invite to the 40-man, he can play all three outfield spots as well. But I definitely think, you know, at the very least, he's in play to share time at third base, which is, you know, a credit to him and the work that he put in the offseason working with Andy Green, who went down to Arizona to work with Madrigal and Nico Horner for about a week in January. And so I think it says a lot about Madrigal and his willingness to put in the work to be able to play. And honestly, he's looked really solid over there at third. So it's going to be interesting to see on a day-to-day basis how David Ross kind of constructs that lineup.
Well, and I know Seiya Suzuki is getting better faster than people anticipated. But I also ask, what's the rush? And I think part of it is in trying to figure out who's going to play where if Seiya Suzuki's not on the opening day roster. And I assume Mancini would be in right because he has a lot of time in the outfield. He's like whatever, 2,000 innings or something. And then trying to figure out who's at, respectively, then first base and DH, because it feels like all of those things are affected by the one.
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like it's going to be mix and match until Suzuki's back, which, I mean, it seems like the optimistic goal would be mid-April, depending on how many at-bats he wants in extended spring training and then through his minor league rehab assignment. So if you're trying to survive 2 to 3 weeks, I mean, certainly, obviously, matchups will play a big role in that. You know, I could see them rotating anybody from Mancini, Wisdom, Tauchman, if he ends up on the opening day roster. They certainly could all be used in right field. And then kind of the ripple effect of that is like at third base, you can have Madrigal, you can have Edwin Rios, who's been getting some time there and has been looking really good as a power lefty bat. And then, you know, DH, you have, again, Mancini, you have Eric Hosmer on days maybe you don't want him at first base. Again, Edwin Rios, like they certainly have a ton of options to mix and match. So it'll be really interesting to see, especially, you know, that first week who David Ross runs with in the starting lineup.
I have Dansby Swanson batting 059 in spring training, is 2 for 34. I know when I talked to Steve Stone about stuff like this, he says he didn't care one way or the other, good, bad, indifferent. It flatly does not matter. I don't know if you agree similarly, and I don't know what Dansby himself thinks, but do you sense that there's any concern?
I don't think spring in general is that huge for more of the veteran guys who, you know, there might be specific things they're working on. You know, as a hitter, maybe it's, hey, I really want to focus on being able to drive the ball the opposite way. You know, I think for Dansby, you know, just watching him these last few weeks, I think it's just a timing thing. He's just working on getting that timing down. He's just a little off. And so I don't, it's hard to say what the level of concern would be. I mean, obviously you'd want to see him rocketing the ball all over the field going into the first week of the season. But also, I mean, he didn't have a great spring last year and he got off to a little slow start, but then he had, you know, arguably his best all around season of his career. So it's really hard to put stock in spring struggles. I mean, obviously it's a completely new organization he's with, new teammates, you know, you're changing spring training from Florida to Arizona. Like there's just a lot of change going on these past couple weeks. So I'm certainly curious to see how he gets off to a start these first couple weeks, because there obviously will be a lot of attention on the guy who's gotten the second largest free agent contract in Cubs history. I mean, inherently that's going to come with outside pressure, and he certainly understands that there's going to be more scrutiny on him, that he's the face of this team, and the responsibilities that come with that. So I think certainly everyone involved would like him to get off to a good start, but I think it's really coming down to a timing thing and just trying to sync up everything in the box.
I also just want to ask how you feel, if at all, Edwin Rios fits into this.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really interesting guy. I mean, you look at his numbers with the Dodgers when he was in the majors. I mean, he's a home run machine. And this is an offense that certainly needs guys that can, you know, score runs in bunches with one swing. I mean, it's something that, you know, Jed Hoyer said at his end of season presser that they needed to find more ways to score runs a lot at once and not go to that station-to-station offense. And so he certainly – the spring has shown, like, you know, he's capable of being that guy. And you're right, like, he doesn't have an obvious everyday spot in the lineup. And again, you know, could see him at third, you could see him at first, you could see him as the DH. There's certainly ways to get him at bats and maximize matchups if he ends up making the team. So it'll be interesting to see how they try and tap into that power when he doesn't have a lockdown everyday starting spot.
Megan Montemurro, outstanding stuff. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Megan.
That's Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune. You heard something that you said was fun when you were watching White Sox.
It is fun. Yeah. It involves somebody we know very well. Yes. But there's an unknown fact that I didn't know, and I'm kind of surprised.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.